We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Nobody cares about the game. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special live edition of Stream Beat Podcast. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
This isn't what we're doing today.
Gee, shut up. We got the Oscars this weekend. I'm your host, Alex Musabai, and Stream Beat founder. Joining me, as always, is my co-host and co-founder, Frankie G.
I can't do anything.
Frankie G, say what's up to the people.
Falcon Winter Soldier finale tonight. Let's fucking go.
We are so excited. We got a ton of Falcon and Winter Soldier talk. We're also joined by a special guest here. We have the one and only from Miami Heat beat, Brian Goins. Brian, how are you, man?
Brian works here?
So excited to have you on Stream Beat.
I feel like Victor Oladipo in our podcast network. Like, I was literally gone for probably the longest amount of time I've ever been gone from this show.
A lot has changed.
Chat says
G stands for stand your ground. This is a corporate takeover.
And I really don't know what I'm coming back to. I haven't listened to a pod in probably a couple weeks, almost.
Brian probably doesn't even know what Stream Beat is.
Brian, do you know something?
Really, what's sad is like, it's not like I like how it used to be in the past where we did like one show a week was a lot easier to like catch up. You guys motherfuckers do like 8 shows in the fucking day.
Kidding me? I was telling the guys before, Brian, like I've done 8 days of content. I've done 8 days of content in the last 10 days. So I
none of it good. None of it good.
None of it good. And I was telling them, I was like, listen, I did the locker room today with Tiff in the morning. And then now I got to do the podcast. And then I did Hangover Time last night. And then I did the podcast the day before. And then I did Hangover Time the day before. And then the day before I did a locker room. And then the day before I did the pregame show and Hangover Time. And then the day before I did the podcast. So like,
this isn't great content. Look at my point.
No, I know. It's me complaining. So with me today, we brought a bigger crew than normal. To my left, if you're watching on twitch.tv/MIA Heat Beat, is Alex Musubai.
What's going on, people? Happy to be here.
StreamBeat co-founder. On the bottom left, we have our 2K coach, Frankie, also StreamBeat co-founder.
Let's go. Get ready for that next episode, guys.
Podcast dropping soon.
Yeah, soon.
And on the bottom, producer and co-founder, after a long absence, Brian Goins.
I feel like we just did this. Why are we still doing reruns?
Well, because Moose introduced everybody, and I gotta get my offense going. I gotta get into my early offense. I need, you know, like the Heat start every game with like Duncan running off a pin down to a dribble handoff. I need that. That sets them. They're like that makes them feel comfortable.
Chat's happy to see you, Brian. Comfortable.
What?
When Moose says drip drop.
Gotta hit him one time with a drip drop. Stream beat.
I let Moose do the drip drop on stream beat, and he was so surprised, was so fucking happy. Off.
But it was like, I almost didn't know what to do.
Before we get into the heat stuff, can we talk a little lore, like some heat beat lore? Like, Moose, drip drop is one of the most polarizing things we've ever done.
It makes me so normally happy.
Not to like toot our own horn or some shit, but like, you know, like mainly stuff is like generally well received, right? It's like the Justice Better thing, well received, Bucket Bros time, well received, just things in general. I've like pretty well received, and drip drop is like you either fucking love it or you think it's annoying, and but there's
that's
no
what I
in
love
between.
About it. It's evocative. It gets the people going.
Evocative.
It's provocative. I think
you know what? It doesn't matter. The point is truthfully though, like
Duolingo beat.
I think I've said this before. I don't know if it was on this pod or where, but. Like when I came up with Drip Drop, that was literally the night Tyler Hero was drafted.
That was here. The story here.
Going back, back to draft night. And like the whole point of it was, I know it's annoying. That's the joke. And then once you get in on it, it's fun. So I hit him all the time with a drip drop.
It's like, it's because you tried to get Will Manso to say it.
That's right.
Right. And that's kind of where it started, like in the Miami
Heat
in
the
beat,
lexicon
cinematic
of
universe.
Miami Heat beat. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just kind of evolved. And then Alf loved it, right?
Yeah.
So that's shocker. And the funny thing is like, so Alf, and this is like really inside Heat beat, and maybe we'll put a timestamp on the pod description, like where
just
we actually talk about the Heat.
It, yeah.
Yeah. But like, and listen, I've done a million shows. Let me enjoy this. When Alf got here, because Alf had worked here. Brian, for how long? I mean, he joined in what, 2017, 2016, around there?
I'm trying to remember what season that was. That was the year they went on the Eastern Conference Finals run, I think. Right, when they lost to the Raptors.
Alf joined the year before that.
No, he came that year, I think.
He came that year. So in 2016, 15-16, Alf and Leif came. So Alf's been here for a while, and then, you know, he obviously at some point went to Five Reasons. And then Alf came back, and this is like totally new people. Alf didn't know Moose. Alf didn't, like, at least Alf knew who Frankie was. He didn't know who the fuck you were, Moose. He didn't know who any of these people were. And it's just some asshole on his postgame show. Because that was the other thing. I was like, all right, Alf, I know that you want to do your own show, and I know that you may want to, like, have your own people, but I really want to promote Heat Beat personalities on the show. And he's like, that's a great idea. I just don't know any of them. I go, no, it's okay. So he doesn't know who you are, and you're just screaming drip drop on his new postgame. And he's like, I love it. I remember he texted me. He was like, so he used to get like really drunk after the game. At the postgame, he would text me, bro, I fucking love Moose. I love drip drop. I love it. And I go, what?
My favorite anecdote about that is the other day, fucking Alf says, yeah, and I discovered Moose.
Christian and I have never been friends before.
Christian grew up with Moose. Me and Christian pushed for Moose to join the draft coverage.
Yes, he did.
And Gianni brings him on full time. And then Alf says, I discovered him.
I think we brought
what a Pat Riley situation.
Yeah, dude. Well, I remember one time Alf was on the radio when he used to do radio with Ethan on 790 The Ticket, and he said on my podcast, and I was like, your podcast?
So I started Miami Heat Beat when I was
God, it's funny. Yeah.
So I let Brian Goins join with me and stuff, you know, Gianni too.
I love people, it though. I can't thank the people enough. For getting behind Drip Drop. Fucking, like, the fact that I even have a t-shirt or that we have a Drip Drop t-shirt, that is, like, wild to me. So thank you to everyone for even just tweeting it to me, because it really makes my day.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Moose, because during this time, like, Moose has been messaging me, like, back and forth about his shirts. Because he's got, like, 8 Drip Drop shirts, I feel like, at this point. He's got so many.
But we finally got the right one up there. So get your
Drip Drop. We have the right one up on the site.
What's the command in chat?
shop.miamiheatbeat.com is where you can find our merch. In fact, you will find this shirt probably this weekend, very soon.
Nice.
It is a vice blue color Hangover Time shirt.
That is fire.
We love it. You know, people may not know this. Brian built this staff. I mean, like, Brian at the time, like, people don't know, like, I'm reluctant to change. I don't like change. I think everyone who's Frankie, you know, you've worked with me for less than a year, and you know, Frankie, it's about a year. I think we're close to your year anniversary.
Yeah, almost a year. Fucking yeah, no, so, G's 100% right. Anytime I fucking bring somebody up, hey, let's bring him on the pod. Let's bring him. You know, we have enough. And then Pat Reason scoops them up, and it's like, oh, they're doing great over there.
Yeah, Frankie was telling me to like add Marco forever, but I just don't. I don't like change. And Brian is the one that really went after everybody that's Shout been on Heapy. And the only people I ever got was Harrison, Jack, and Alex Toledo.
Not a great track record.
On Locked On, 0 for 3 there.
The best ones there, you let them go.
Yeah. And then Brian got Christian. I don't know who the fuck Christian was. Brian got Nikias, like when Nikias had like 1,000 followers. Brian went after Albert Namad before Albert Namad blew up. Like Albert Namad had like 400 followers in this weird little blog, and Brian was after him. Brian got Alf.
We technically are like the only pod that's had him on a show for like the longest time, and we had him twice in like a week span. And then now he's like, I actually want to know if he's still alive because I haven't seen him tweet anything in like probably half a year.
Yeah, people have asked if Albert's okay.
Is he okay? I don't know.
I asked Ethan. I texted Ethan, and I was like, Ethan, that Ethan has a good relationship with him. And Ethan said he hasn't.
I have his email. I probably should send him an email.
Ethan said he was going to try to contact him. I never followed up to ask him how that went. But I mean, if Ethan hasn't said anything, I'm pretty sure that Ethan tried to contact him.
Like, my worst fear is, like, he had COVID, and we don't know.
No, I mean, maybe he just... I mean, listen, Twitter's an exhausting. Social media is really tiring, especially, you know, him, when he gets peppered with questions every time something happens. It's like, how does this affect?
Yeah, but like Victor Oladipo got traded, he had nothing to say about it.
Nah, I mean, he probably just
that's a good
got
point,
off social
though.
Media.
I'm kind of with Brian on that. I just want to check in on his safety. I want to make sure he's okay because it's gonna be a busy off season and we need him.
I'll follow up on Albert.
But Gianni definitely changed the subject because Brian. This turns out Brian is like the Andy Ellisberg of Heapy.
He really is.
Yeah, for real.
I like this story. Brass recorded a video outside of Madison Square Garden asking Tyler Johnson, do you like anime?
I have that audio. Hold on. I can send
it to you. Okay, Brian's going to pull up that audio. And I think, Brian, can you text it to me? Because I'll text it to you. Yeah, Brian will text it to me so we can play that. It's a legendary Heat Beat sound. And listen, you guys are getting maximum Heat Beat lore.
Yeah, you guys didn't change your name, so you guys both show
up. Yeah, we're all Johnny. Yeah.
Can we go back to the beginning of how we call ourselves Miami Heat Beat and how we go ahead.
So Brass wants to join. Well, Brian's like, we should have this guy like do stuff with us. He's funny and creative. He does funny photoshops. And I was like, I don't want him. I don't want anybody else. I like what we have. And Brian just made the executive decision for me and just added him to our group chat. And he's like, congratulations, you work here now. And I was like, I just got overwritten. He did the same thing with Moose.
Good job.
Yeah.
And Frankie.
Literally the same. That's Brian's move. It's just add people to the group chat and put me in a position I can't say no at that point.
After like two pods, Brian messaged me and he goes, hey, tell Gianni to add you to the group chat we're all quitting. I was like, fuck, Gianni. I thought Gianni told me I'm officially part of this shit. I'm not even in the group chat, motherfucker.
No, there are two group chats.
Yeah.
There were two group chats. There was like the old Heat Beat and then the new Heat Beat.
If Gianni worked in the Heat's front office in 2010, he would have told LeBron James, we have enough.
I swear to God, I was just thinking that. Like, I picture Gianni in front of Pat Riley. Pat's like, all right, we got him. We're bringing in LeBron. We're bringing in Brosh. And Gianni's just like, no, we got enough.
Gianni's like, Rudy Gay. Give me Rudy Gay. He fits in.
Kuba Diawara, bring him back.
You know, my favorite one is actually Leif, because I found him on Real GM before he was on Twitter. And used to like follow him for like all these, like the same nuggets that he was sharing on Twitter, he was sharing on Real GM for years. And so I remember I was following him. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to message him and see if he wants to join. And at first he was very reluctant. He didn't want to do this. And I had to pepper him like probably two or three times before he finally agreed. So I'm actually pretty happy to say, like, I'm the one that probably brought Leif to your ears wherever you're listening.
Brian's a fantastic scout, and I'm going to hit you guys with a little tidbit that you probably don't remember. This is going all the way back to literally the inception of Heat Beat. Brian, you reached out to me at the very, very beginning just to see, like, hey, man, would you ever want to write about sports or anything like that? But shit. I had just joined Twitter and I didn't really understand the concept of like talking to people that I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I totally blew you off.
You thought he was a bot.
And best then, like, thing that ever happened to you, Brian.
And then
best
like a year trust later, me. Christian's like, oh, I'm going to do this heapy thing. And I was like, oh, Brian, I remember that guy. So there you go. We've come
full. Brian would just bring people on. So he brought Christian on and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Brian's like, oh, he's some guy on Twitter. And I think Chris's like at was like CCH1145.
Yeah, I was like, that's 1125. I got him on Twitter.
Yeah, I was like, that's too many numbers. I go, you're a bot. This is a Brian. What are you doing? And then I was like, oh, I guess this guy's on. And look where we are now. So that's a little.
Oh, and my story is Alex Salido.
No, we don't got time for that.
Picked me up as an Uber on an Uber ride. We were talking Heat basketball, and he told me about the podcast, and he put me in.
Oh no, the main reason I wanted you, Frankie, was because he had like the only highlight footage of Bam hitting jumpers at the time.
Oh yeah, at the Miami Pro League.
That's right. I was trying to tell G to let me on to it. G was like,
yeah, he was forever. And Frankie and I hung out once.
Multiple times. And
multiple times.
The whole time we're fucking with Nikias and Toledo and
Alf,
all these guys. And they're all like hammering Gianni to have me on. And he's like,
yeah, Alf didn't even work at Heat Beat at the time. Yeah. Alf was wearing a Five on the Floor shirt. And he's like, you should bring Frankie on.
Nikias traveled to Miami, is on vacation. And he's like, yeah, Gianni, bring him on. You should. You absolutely should.
Look, I did eventually.
Look at that. Now but I got that's just who I
am. I'm reluctant to change. Alf is like, hey, we should bring, well, like Tiffany was like, that was part of the deal. But like, he's like, oh, this at great matter. She has good takes. We should bring her on the pod. And I was like, I don't know who that is. And I was like, oh, I've argued with her on Twitter once. And then Alf's like, I'm going to bring her on Hangover Time. And I was like, I don't really have a say in Hangover Time. And I was like, oh, wow, she's really smart. She's good. I was like, you see? That's why you should try stuff.
For real, though, like, this is nothing against any of us, but I think we can all agree the stars of Heat Beat are the ladies. The ladies carry us Siobhan, every single 1,000%. Night. They're fantastic.
Tiff carries me every locker room session.
Speaking of, check the bot, the Tiff bot guys on the Twitch chat. Tiffany Meeks has some merch. She's got her little photography page she's got working on. Go support Tiffany. Her stuff Absolutely. Is incredible. She's I'm
yeah, buying it's really it. Good stuff.
She sent me one of her photos signed. I'm gonna frame
signed.
It. Signed.
You got an autograph Tiff merch?
I didn't get shit. What are you talking about? Damn, Tiff.
I'm still waiting on that Siobhan jersey. I want that and I want that too. Signed. I want it framed. Let's go.
You know, maybe. By the way, shout out to Curtis's Hero for gifting a tier one sub to Heat Expert, and Curtis's Hero has gifted 99 gift subs in the channel. So what an absolute
shout
legend!
That, appreciate it.
That kind of support. I tweeted today because Dos Minutos and making fun of me on the timeline about how I should pay people. We proudly pay everybody, and yes. I'm not just saying that because I'm holding Frankie and Moose at gunpoint. We pay everybody except for Brian, and I'm kidding. No. So your contributions go to keeping this on, to keeping everybody works really hard on this. This takes a lot of work to maintain. Everybody puts in a lot of hours and there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that you don't know. Brass does an unreal amount of work behind the scenes. Everybody does their own preparation work. Everybody is always available for each other. If somebody gets sick or someone's not here, it's everybody jumps at once to kind of fill in for people. Frankie's holding up Tiff's photography that looks wonderful. So check that out. You can see that link in the chat. Curtis's Hero says hashtag unionize Heat Beat. So maybe I think it might be fun to do some, if you guys are interested, some more kind of historical Heat Beat stuff to kind of know like some inside stories. Maybe that'll be some fun off-season content.
Patreon stuff.
But
that was fun.
There is Heat basketball to talk about.
Is there?
There is. They're on a win streak, guys.
Let's go.
They're on a win streak, and I you know, we've talked ad nauseum about Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero and all. I think I'm a little bit done with that conversation. But I do want to talk about something our good friend Leif said, who's on Five on the Floor. He said to me, the Heat can close this season out 10-3. And he said that, and I was like, yeah, that's possible. And then I really, really thought about it. I really, really sat there and thought. And I'm going to read to you guys the last couple games of the schedule. Tomorrow against Atlanta without Trae Young. Then the Bulls without Zach LaVine. And then the Bulls back again without Zach LaVine.
Twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they play them twice. So two games back to back. Well, not back to back, but two games against the Bulls.
But they're like
without Zach. Yeah, two games. The Spurs at home, the Cavs, the Hornets without Gordon Hayward and LaMelo Ball, the Mavericks, the Timberwolves, the Celtics, and then we're at the last three games of the season. The Sixers, the Bucks, and the Pistons. Now, the Sixers and the Bucks may be locked into a playoff spot at that point, and they might rest their players, especially in a COVID season and where home court matters a little less than ever on top of that. I think that those games might be rest games. And I got to be honest with you, with the way they're playing, Jimmy scared these people into being good again. It's not impossible for them to not only, I mean, maybe they drop one of the Celtic games, maybe they drop the Mavs game and maybe one other game. But I mean, they can easily win the rest of them or all of them. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Their longest win streak, I think, has been 7 Moose. But like, if they fucking rip through this 10-3 or some shit, like, I wouldn't be surprised.
That is absolutely a possibility. I'm going to hit you with the flip side of it. The only reason that I think that it won't happen is I think we're all expecting Victor Oladipo to come back now. When he does, I'm not so convinced that it's just going to be hit the ground running with Victor. You know, I think it's going to take some time for him to not only get back into like a rhythm of it, but also just to get into the rhythm of our offense and our defense. So will that affect the win streak if we're still riding it at that point? I think it will. Does that mean that I think that Victor would cost us a game or anything? No, I just think that trying to get him back into the fold of it is everyone's going to take a little step back, you know?
Victor's lineup data is interesting because it's not good. It's been bad. And I do think that they need to integrate him. I don't think that kind of him getting here the day before the playoffs is particularly good for him. I think that he needs, and I think this soft schedule is kind of the way to do it, right? Kind of,
absolutely.
So they're in 100, Victor Oladipo's played 111 minutes for the Heat. They're -8. Per 100 possessions, 105 offensive rating, 113 defensive rating. Frankie, if he comes back, do you feel like that'll kind of make them stumble a little bit, or do you think that they can kind of survive those kind of growing pains?
It depends on how far along back is he. Is he coming back 70%, 80%? What kind of explosiveness is he bringing? I think he's shown that he can be effective even without the extreme athleticism, picking his spots, and a lot of those growing, like those numbers and especially offensively, was just, you know, guys not having chemistry. How many times did we see Bam come off of a pick and roll with Depot and Depot throw him a lob or a pass that was a good pass, but Bam just isn't used to a guard finding him. He's like, oh, it's not Duncan finding me on a slip. You know, a guy actually, I had set a good screen roll, I'm ready for a dunk, and the guy's ready, gonna throw it to me. It was just stuff like that led to a pick six and stuff like that. Unfortunately, that just comes with overtime. I think Depot showed a lot of flashes, especially defensively, of what they could be. And that also coincided with Ariza just joining the starting lineup and still struggling hitting shots and finding his own rhythm. So I think the combination of all those guys like starting to play better, I think Depot can come in and hit the ground running better than he did the first time, especially because the other guys have kind of found their rhythm and their feel. And, you know, they've also worked so much on plugging and playing guys recently with Nunn and Goran and Tyler that I feel like they're kind of used to that.
Is he practicing right now? Do we know if he's like even like doing any kind of drills and stuff with the team?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't. He didn't travel with the team.
That's true.
So, I would assume that he's back, probably working with Heat staff and all that to recuperate. Yeah. But
he's not doing like 5-on-5 and stuff like that.
No, I don't think so. No.
I think we'd know if he was. I think we know. Brad, I want to ask you because I think sometimes when you're too deep in the trench, right? We know too much. You know, we're too. And I think when you know a little too much, I think you tend to lean more negative or you tend to lean one way. I think you establish biases when you're kind of, you know, when you're too much in the trench. You've been removed a little bit. you've been moving, you've been your career has been skyrocketed, you know, you've been very busy, so you've been a little removed.
Yeah.
You look at them and think what?
Honestly, before the Timberwolves lost, I really thought this team wasn't going to make the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
I really thought they were on like that kind of downward trajectory, because like really the Oladipo loss, to me, it felt like that really hurt the team a lot. Just like losing him at that specific moment of the season, like they really needed him, I feel like. Now that Jimmy has kind of like lit them up under their ass, like it feels like they're playing to save their season again. They know that they need all these games. They need all these wins because they really need the seeding to make sure they can at least get to a 4 or 5 seed, or else they have really no shot of like going much further than like the first round. I think, like, sure, they might be able to beat Milwaukee if they played them like a 3-6 matchup, but I'm not comfortable about that. Maybe in the second round, I feel better about it, but not in the first.
You know, Brian, I like that you said that, because I think a topic of conversation here a lot, especially between Siobhan and I, have been like, they don't play with edge. They play very flat. They play very... And I think you touched on that. They're playing to save their season.
Well, it's different. Is like this team, you can see that there's certain games they actually play up to the competition. And it's always like that every season.
No, Brian, but I'm sorry.
Why are you laughing
Why are you laughing at me? What analysis is that? You know, they play very meh. Like, I understand what you were saying.
I mean, if you watch them, you know it's
It's true. Like,
they play like a limp dick.
They play like they don't give a fuck sometimes. Like, they seriously, like, they barely want to be there. Like, they have these games where they're just like the Timberwolves game. What the fuck was that? Like, they threw out these... I'm not sure if it was, like, the lineups or just, like, the matter of fact, like, they didn't have all the players, like, healthy for that game. But still, like...
There's no excuse.
What the fuck?
No excuse.
And that pissed me off, because, like, they were up for a good quarter of that game, and, like, the second quarter, they just fucking just stopped giving a shit. And, like...
I think that was one of the only games you watched during this stretch,
right?
Well,
that's the thing, is, like, I only watched about 3 games within the last month before I watched last night's game, because I've been super fucking busy. So, like, I think the only games that I missed... that I really wanted to watch. I wanted to watch the Golden State game. I had to listen to it on the radio as I was driving back and forth, moving stuff from my apartment. So I was able to listen to that game on the radio, and it sounded like they were kicking their ass. I didn't actually ever get to watch it, but that was like one game where I thought like, okay, maybe they're coming along. And that's when Victor Oladipo obviously was playing at his best. And then I saw part of the Laker game too, but I missed quite a few of them during that stretch, and especially during that losing streak. So seeing them like here and there, you could see like how the team wasn't performing at what I thought they were supposed to be playing, especially at this point in the season. Like you think their growing spurts, like those growing pains are like gone by now. Like you would think they would figure out their offensive struggles by now. And it seemed like they hadn't still.
They haven't even come yet. They haven't had a chance to go through them yet. That's what I'm saying. That when he does come back, it's going to, you know, it's going to push us back a little bit.
But chat saying a couple of things I like. Ace in chat says T-Wolves. You guys have too many numbers. You screw me. They're like speed bumps. I'm ignoring the numbers unless they're 3 or less. Yeah. Ace in chat says T-Wolves game is the one that you get for Jimmy. I agree. They let him down. And I think that that's also why he got so upset. Because like that's the one you got to win.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Curtis's Hero also donated a tier 1 sub to Ace. And that makes 100 gifted subs for the channel. I fucking love you, dude.
This one's next for time, Curtis Hero. There's gotta an event. Hit him with a drip drop.
Curtis Hero. Literally, I'm not even gonna joke. Just tell me what shirt you want. We'll send you one.
DM the Heatbeat account. We're sending you a shirt. That is just awesome. We love you, dude.
DM either the Heatbeat account or me, and I'll get
yeah,
it for
or Brian, and we're gonna get you a shirt. We love you, dude. You're the best. So,
and some of your slides and all that information, we'll get one.
Yeah. We'll take care of that off air.
I actually wanted to finish answering the question, because you did tell me how you think they were, or how I felt like they were playing. In terms of like,
what did you think of them? Yeah, like,
so I really didn't think that they were gonna go far for at one like specific moment, which was really the Timberwolves game. To me, that was more of an emotional reaction. I'm more of an emotional fan. If you guys haven't learned that by now, then no I'll way. Know what you've been listening to for the last few years. But no, seriously, like right now, I feel like these last 2 wins blowing teams out by 20 points, that's the best we've seen them play. Even more than like that winning streak that we saw them play, because really the winning streak, I mean, they played okay competition. It wasn't like it wasn't bad, but like, you know, it's kind of what you're expecting from that team after what they had last year. So now I feel like they could push. They definitely push for an Eastern Conference Finals run if Oladipo comes back. I feel like the, some of the pieces are finally starting to come together. I love Ariza. He's pretty much the best replacement they could have found for Jay Crowder. Either both in free agency and now, like they seriously picked probably the perfect replacement they could have found anywhere. And I love the fit on the team. Duncan's been freaking amazing, just shooting the lights out again. And it's something they've been needing. I saw a stat that Cooper Moore had posted the other day where he's, what, back-to-back 41 or 2% seasons over 8 attempts a game where he basically would be like the only player outside of Steph and Clay to produce those numbers in back-to-back years. Like, it's insane. And we were calling him trash for half the year and thinking that he's not going to get paid what we think he's going to get paid in the open market. So I'm happy to see that he's coming around. And then obviously Jimmy and Bam, like, and especially Bam, like these last few.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Games, him actually becoming more aggressive is something that's awesome to see. And I really think that some of the pieces on this team are finally living up to expectations, and we haven't even talked about Tyler yet. Like, freaking Tyler, this last game he just played was one of his best games, even though it was only really that one quarter. It's something we haven't seen this year on a consistent basis, and we need to see more of that. And now is the time of the season where we need them all to put it together cohesively, and I really want to see Dragic put together a couple more solid games.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
So, since the trade deadline, Duncan is shooting 42% from three off of dribble handoffs alone, which is just, that's an insane percentage off a handoff. That's not a wide open spot up, right? That is an absurd amount. Just from the top of the key, he's hit 153 threes since the deadline.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He's absolutely fucking flamethrower.
Well, he's got to make up for a whole half of the year. So, you know, fucking let's go, Duncan.
How many threes does he have for the season? I mean, he must be at like, I think he just got to 200.
Yeah.
He just got to 200 and like he made 100 something of them just in the last, like in this short span. So he has 204 three-point makes. It's just an insane amount. I mean,
He's amazing. He's been absolutely incredible. Talked about it on Hangover Time. The pocket passing, the encore presence, the stuff at the rim has just been out of this world good. I mean, he has been automatic at the rim this season, and that's just crazy. I mean, from the restricted area, he's shooting. I'm going to check it right now. He's shooting 86%. From 0 to 3 feet.
That's insane. That's Kelly level good.
And like,
he didn't have that last year, right? Like, that wasn't a part of his game.
He
last
was a
year.
Good did, finisher
but,
last
no,
year.
He did, but he was good at slipping and cutting and, yeah. and curling.
But at 86%,
he didn't shoot that much really either last year off the rim.
If he did, it was like it wasn't as many attempts as he did this.
Right.
Year.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
So I'll put it to you this way. So last season, I'm trying to pull up just like the raw aggregate just of 2-point attempts. He made all of last season, he made 53 2-pointers. And this season already, he has 53 2-pointers. He played 73 games.
Pretty good.
And he's at 59 this season.
Nice.
I mean, it's
almost nice.
His defense has improved a lot too.
I think the stunting, you know, especially on fast breaks, like when he kind of stunts into the lane and kind of gets back out to his man. I think that's been really impressive. He's always, Frankie, he's always going to be a guy that like power wings get to pick on because he's not a guard and they sometimes try to put him on guards. But I think in the playoffs, he's going to have to guard bigger guys, which mostly is fine. But when it gets to like the Kawhis, the LeBrons, the PGs, I even think PG Rodgers. Might not even like have like,
I mean, the he's not going to have to face LeBron and Kawhi until the final round.
No, but I mean, when those guys get like, put in the pick and roll, like Giannis, right? Like Jason Tatum.
Well, who was he on in that Bucks series most of the time? He was on what? Wesley?
But they don't have a Jay Crowder now. And not that he's going to play the four, but you know, he's going to.
Jay Tucker.
When he gets put in pick and roll is what I'm saying. So like LeBron would have Duncan's man, which I think was KCP a lot, come screen for him so he can get Duncan in a pick and roll and a switch, right? So the Bucks have done a little bit more of that this season that wasn't really a part of their offense. The Bucks are also using Giannis as a screener a lot more. That's another part of their offense that I don't really think Miami has many answers for. The Bucks are switching more. That's just another set of issues. They're not just exclusively a drop team, which is going to change kind of how that playoff series is played. But with Duncan, he's going to get picked on by stronger, bigger guys. And that's fine because every team has a guy. I mean, look, the Lakers had KCP that Jimmy Butler was hunting and torched. I mean, the dude was fucking like Jimmy's like, where the fuck is that guy? I want him. And they did it to the Bucks with George Hill, and they did it to the Celtics with Kemba Walker. And they did it to the Clippers with Pat Bev or Lou Williams. And every team has a guy that you have to play late in the game that's a good defender, but maybe not big enough. And your strong guy is going to find that dude, and he's going to be like, I'm going to fucking punish you. And that's fine. Everybody has that guy. I don't think he hurts you most of the time. And to defend those kinds of wings anyway, you have to send a ton of help. And that's what the Heat are good at. They send help and they recover. So I'm not worried about that. I think Duncan's improvements on defense have been great. I think we got to give Nunn a little love on defense too. Not that he's like an all-world defender, Moose, but like I think on the ball, you know, he's improved a lot. I think he's still like bad in pick and roll. He's probably like a D- to an F+. But on the ball, I mean, he does a good job. Like, you know, he stays in front of his man. Doesn't, you know, he's quick. He uses that kind of lateral quickness. He just has to figure the rest of it out.
I'm glad you brought him up. I don't think it's been, you know, a massive step forward defensively for him. But what I think it is, I really think it's more of just like a confidence thing. Like when you see the ball dropping offensively, I feel like it gives you extra juice to get back on defense and really like man up. And I just think that him being able to score the ball again is making him feel so much more comfortable out there and so much more free. And we're seeing that energy put in on the defensive side.
He's averaging a steal a game, and it shows like the eye test shows that like he's getting his hands on passes. We saw early last season, he was doing a really good job on that. And then the scouting report kind of like started taking advantage of his over aggressiveness, but he's kind of learned to pick his spots a lot better. We've seen that growth from Duncan as well. Both of them have been improved a lot more as position defenders, picking their spots of when to reach, when to gamble. when to stay, just stay, play good defense. Now, if only Tyler could get there.
I can live again. In chat says G takes up 80% of the show. I'm a ball hog. I want to ask you guys something. It's not bad
content though, so.
It's probably bad. Ace says, "G's the host. Let him."
I mean, we spent like the first 15 minutes just reliving our show memories. Not even show memories, like our operation memories.
Listen, it's a good time. We're gonna do some more of that in the offseason. I think what we've done is interesting, and I there's some stories you want to share.
No, there's so many stories. I mean, honestly, I really can't wait for us to get together again, like in person.
Hanging out,
to be able to do like a watch party would be fun. I haven't even been to a watch party
in a month, baby.
I'm in
my water heater started leaking today. It's okay though.
Yeah, I got my second dose already, so I'm good.
Moose, this is probably not good. Do you have does your building need an insured contractor to do work?
This is great content.
I have no idea. Okay. I can find out for you. I'll talk to the property manager.
I was basically wondering if you had a guy who's insured that, because my building needs like an insured.
Why don't you ask the chat? I'm sure you'll find a drywall specialist.
Chat, if you know, if you know a painter,
you got an uncle.
Insurance?
You have an uncle that can paint. You know, you hit me up. I totally derailed everything. Steamer. Okay, so
steam is your carpet cleaner.
I'm hard on Kendrick Nunn. I'm very hard on him. I've been hard on him for a long time.
Crazy.
Shocking. Honestly,
did you
the
hear
most
the hangover time the other day when I made the joke, the hard joke? Did you hear that one, Moose?
Maybe.
It was the Rockets game, and Nunn played well, and obviously we're making we horny jokes.
Yes.
And then Brass came in, and I was, he came out, and I was like, he came out. Tiff and Siobhan were so disappointed at me. My feelings on Nunn are very well documented. We don't have to get into that. So it's just tough for me to have, like, I try to have his nuance. Do you think I'm like unfair to his game though? Like, I want to know, because like Tiff and Siobhan were like, you're being unfair to him this morning. And I was like, I can see probably, but I don't know. Like, I want Frankie, I know that you do a lot with me. Like, do you think I'm like unfair to him?
I feel like I feel like you struggle to give him credit when he's earned it.
And you're like, a lot easier to criticize him.
Yeah. Okay. It's fair. Easiest to criticize him. He can miss his open shots, but when he hits them, he's that's his job. That's his job. It's like,
no, I don't say that. No, I was like, he'll miss the next one.
No, you literally said somebody's got to hit shots. We're a bad team. Somebody's got to hit shots.
Yeah.
Like, come on. If nobody's hitting shots right now, somebody finally does, and you're not going to give the guy credit? Like, come on.
I was accused on Twitter of being more nuanced with Tyler than with Kendrick.
Then again, you also hate Tyler too, so it's not even like much of a difference.
Yeah, chat says I'm unfair to Nunn, and they say preach Frankie. I will say this with my thing with Nunn. G is hard on Nunn, but loves Kelly and Duncan.
Crazy.
Duncan's good. Duncan's a much better basketball player than Kendrick Nunn. There's no argument to be made on the other side. I'm not a fan of his game. I once called him the Hassan Whiteside of guards. I do. It's always been complicated for me. It's always been difficult for me because it is our job to evaluate the game. I do have feelings about him for what he's done in the past. I do think that I try to give him credit where it's due. I am hard on him. I know that. I try to be nuanced, but it's difficult. And I'm being transparent with you.
He's just not a fan of his game. I mean, that's different than like not liking Nunn the person, but like.
I don't know Nunn the person. I don't like Nunn that's done things that we don't have to talk about again. But
yeah,
chat's also mad at me. That's like nobody should ever be compared to Son. I mainly want to be transparent because guys on Twitter have come at me and they're like, so I had a tweet about Tyler about kind of the circumstances that surrounded Hero and how I'm trying to. Somebody asked me like, do you think Hero's just a mirage last year? And I said, second year small guard with no offseason, role consistency or summer league, playing in a pressure situation during a COVID season. We shouldn't be making any sweeping assumptions about Hero. He needs to be better for sure, but some of his warts are concerning, but he is a good NBA player.
Yeah.
And somebody told me, it was like, well, you never extend. Nunn has gone through the same things and you don't extend him that. And I was like, that's true. I can't argue with that. Like, I think I've been very critical of Tyler as well. I very publicly wanted to trade him and I lashed out when they didn't because I wanted Kyle Lowry here really badly.
God.
Just the Nunn thing's always weird with me in the pod and everything. And I just wanted to talk about it a little bit and be kind of transparent.
Because guys that aren't in the chat when fucking Gianni goes on a whiny rant are in our fucking chats.
It's bad, right?
Automatic mute.
The Lowry chat, fucking when they couldn't get Lowry because of Tyler and stuff.
Did you ever say that on the pod? Did you guys talk about that? Because I don't want to bring it up if you guys haven't.
What did we talk about?
We talked about when we made the Oladipo trade.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We made a whole two weeks worth of content on it.
Yeah, yeah. No, we were making fun of me for days, baby.
Still.
Okay. Because yeah, like G basically hated the trade at first.
I hated it.
We had to talk him down. But I mean, I figured out why. It's because he really wanted Lowry that bad, and
yeah.
And there was also a mixture of other things, personal wise. But, like, seriously, like, I really think that, like, you have a tendency to, like, really love somebody and then, like, absolutely hate them at the same time. So you need to find a balance in between there. And I don't know how you're going to do that, but you need to find it somehow.
Like, I've always said it's like I'm more measured on the pod than I am in, like, I'll air it out in the group chat. I'll tweet through it.
Yeah.
And then on the pod, I'll be good, right? Like, I think I've been good on the pod about that.
Well, you can be more emotional than me. That's the thing.
Gianni said in the group chat that we lost the trade deadline.
He did?
I did say that.
He was the only fucking person to say
that. I was so mad at them. I was like, because I was also mad at that they couldn't get the fucking pick out of Sam Presti. I was so mad at Sam Presti.
I was mad at Sam Presti
for doing his job.
I love the way that it went down in our chat, though, because literally every single person in our chat is saying, like, wow, great
celebration.
Trade. Awesome. I love it. And then the next thing we see is, I hate it. We're a worse team.
I did say that.
He did say that. G has like these terrible tastes because he's just like, I don't know.
I was emotional, but I didn't say that on the pod, or I didn't say that publicly.
No, someone asked, did you ever say on the pod? I guess you did.
I said that privately in a way that I was lashing out because they could. Yeah, like, you know, people try to say I'm emotional. I think on the pod I'm more measured. But yeah, that was a day that I was just like not happy. I wanted Kyle.
Is he even playing now? I haven't watched the Raptors. Is he playing now? What's he doing?
They're fading for Cade. He played the other day. And that's Dr. Lowry.
Why didn't they buy him out?
Why would they buy him out?
Because they didn't trade him. And he wants to probably play for at least a playoff team, I would assume.
He's fine. He's happy.
He's enjoying Tampa.
He could have two rings by now, but no, he's only going to have one.
He's happy. And that's a lot of money to buy out, and I don't think he wanted to give back anything. He'll be somewhere else. I don't think it must be nice
to have a really bad GM.
Besides, good. He might stay. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, remember that he traded Goran, and then he literally traded Goran, and then they re-signed him in the offseason. So, I mean, you know, you never know.
Why would you want Kyle Lowry back at 36 years old?
I think they're going to be good next year. I think that this year was kind of weird for them.
Enough Raptors talk.
Yeah. So that's my nun spiel. That's the behind the curtain in the Heapy group chat. There are takes I read. So last pod when Alex was on, I read my text messages to him because those texts are bad. I careen from left to right. It's bad. And you guys in the Heapy chat don't even get the worst of it. Right, whatever you get is like a degree removed from the worst of it. Alex gets the worst of it.
I love it because I was like a month away from you guys, so it feels nice not actually have to be there for most of them.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with me. You're refreshed. No, you feel I don't. Good.
And I love that you don't ever text me anymore, so it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're busy, so I don't want to bother you.
Like,
so one time I texted Brian. I feel was that passive aggressive?
The one time you texted me, you asked for a picture of Nikias.
I did. I asked for the Nikias Payne meme. Let's go through my text with Brian. Everybody loves this kind of content. This feels like a very old school Heapy show. It's just very all over the place. I think people
would rather listen to a special Stream Beat Oscars episode. All right.
You know what, Moose? I actually thought of something. I don't know if you want to do it for Hangover Time or here, but there was a episode that I'm not sure if you guys listened to it, but Duncan did an episode of Bam. I was listening to it today in prep for the show. And at the end, they were asking him like certain questions, and I didn't realize that Bam apparently likes to sleep with the TV on.
Interesting.
Okay. And so there's certain shows that he actually like falls asleep to. One of them was Boondocks, and the other one was Family Matters. So my question to you guys is, what shows do you listen or watch when you fall asleep?
Oh, okay.
I can go first.
I was wondering how that was going to tie into Hangover Time, but okay, we got it.
Well, I mean, you know, Moose at the movies, but I don't know. Moose
at the movies,
Moose,
yeah.
Moose falls asleep to TV. I don't know if that works. Something like that.
I like okay. to, lately I've been, so I watch a lot of anime, as everybody knows. I like, you know, today. The last thing I watched to be like an iyashike. That's a yashike is a genre of like healing. It's like a, they call it like a healing genre. It's a very, they're
what
very
the
relaxing.
What the fuck is a
shows.
Healing genre?
It's like, if anybody has seen the show Yuru Camp,
nobody.
Okay, Yuru Camp's, it's about camping. It's about these
kids just said
like
a camping
camp.
Anime. Okay.
Yeah, or Aria. Aria is a really popular one. I'm watching one now.
So,
it's called Super Cub.
So
about, like,
is it like a relaxing motorcycle. Anime just because they're like doing just basic nature things?
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, there's the Super Cub I'm watching right now. It's about a girl that has a motorcycle, and it's just like her kind of relationship with like kind of riding and stuff. It's very soothing, very
sounds like
very
the perfect
relaxing.
Thing to fall asleep to.
No, it's not boring, but it makes me feel good before bed. It's like I feel relaxed, I feel healed. I want like a nice hot cup of tea. It's nice. I like that.
So yeah, I fell asleep to South Park recently.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.